praise God in many different ways. Well, it is good, as I mentioned earlier, to be with you. We cycled up, somebody provided, perhaps someone here in the congregation, our family with bicycles. So we were able to bike up here to the church, I think it was on Thursday, and just take a look around. And it was fun to see the sign welcoming our family to this church. And Kelly, my wife, got a photo of the sign. It was on the telephone pole across the street. And what we thought was wonderful, that it says, "Welcome to Tim Bruno and family." And right above it was another sign that said, "Shooting prohibited." Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We feel very safe. We feel very safe. So I don't know how you protect me from that, but I count on that. I count it on it being a safe experience. So yes, it is great to be here. And we were in Ballykelly, County Londonderry, Derry County, for 2 months. So for May and June, perhaps you know, that's where we were. So we've been in Northern Ireland for some time, and worshiping there. And I actually backpacked around the Republic of Ireland for about a month as well, starting in April, leaving Kelly with all four girls for 4 weeks back in Canada. And then they joined me in May in Ballykelly. So we had a wonderful time there. They had alpacas. The minister in Ballykelly had six alpacas, you know, llamas. So the girls had a lot of fun with that. So if anybody has some interesting creatures that you could lend us to compete with Ballykelly's alpacas, that would be wonderful. Maybe a couple cows or sheep. The girls would enjoy that. So it was a wonderful learning experience, and something they love about this manse more is that they don't have to share bedrooms. It's such a big manse. I'm sure many of you have been in the manse here in Moneydig, but there is four bedrooms for the four girls and even one for Kelly and I. So they are very thankful for that. So we're going to look at this little letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. This is the region in southwest Turkey, present-day southwest Turkey. That's where this little church of Colossae is. And Paul is writing this letter, we read, in chains, meaning he's in prison. We understand him to be in prison in Ephesus, about 120 miles west of Colossae. And he's writing this letter 25 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. So a very young church. I think the date this church has is somewhere in the early 1800s, I believe, this Presbyterian church. And so, yeah, this is quite a young church. Think of that, 25 years old. They don't really have their traditions and, you know, pulpits in place and what we do on a Sunday. They're a young group of believers. Paul's never met them, we understand, but he's writing this letter saying, "I thank God for the faith I hear that is present in your community of faith." And I think the neat connection for me is we were across the ocean in Canada when we started to hear about Moneydig Presbyterian Church maybe 10 months ago, starting to talk to Reverend Stuart Morrow and hearing some of the things Stuart was doing here in the church and the ministry going on and beginning to thank God for you. I was doing that before we came here, looking forward to meeting you, thanking God for you. And so there's that link with this letter and our family coming here, joining with these Christians from across the sea, about 3,000 miles away to the west, though in a way with flight today, a lot closer for us than for the Apostle Paul to go 100 miles. So let's read these opening verses in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord, and thanks be to God. Let's pause to pray. Almighty God, without your Spirit moving, the words of Scripture, the words of preaching and reflection are empty of power. We need your Holy Spirit to move and to speak to us. Open our hearts and minds. May the words I speak honor you, God, and build up your church. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. As I was backpacking through the Republic of Ireland, I came to the beautiful town of Killarney in County Kerry. Perhaps many of you have gone to visit there. And like the Apostle Paul traveling through Athens, I came to a statue, a big statue, and kind of quite close to the center of the town, I would say. The statue was to the glory of Jesus Christ, the King, Lord, Savior of this city. That's what the plaque said on it. It was wonderful to see. Jesus is the King, the Lord, the Savior of Killarney. I believe that was erected in the early 1900s, maybe the 1930s. And I was glad to see it and wondered, almost 100 years later, if they had the choice, would the city put that up now? Is there too much pressure from the world around to not offend anyone who doesn't agree? Is the culture as Christian as it was almost 100 years ago? I think we would readily agree that culture has changed. Certainly, society has changed. Perhaps more so in Canada, where we are and where we pride ourselves, it seems, by statements from leading officials and governments, we're a progressive country, and we wear that as a badge of honor. We've been heartened to see in Northern Ireland people holding firm to the truth of the Word of God. But I'm sure for many of you still, it's changing. Those profound truths that society held on to, the value of the Word of God, you see it lessen. The value of attending church Sunday by Sunday, you see it slipping from what you grew up with. Paul is writing to a little group of Christians in a town where there are very, very few Christians. It's not like Paul is writing to Money Dig Presbyterian Church in Colossae and then across the street, or certainly not in this area, but not far away, a couple miles away, there's another church, the Church of Ireland, or a Roman Catholic church, or a Methodist church. No, Paul's writing to the only little church in that whole city, in that whole region in southwest Turkey. Paul knew that the community he was writing to, that the people there had many different belief systems, worshipped many different gods. But although in Northern Ireland and perhaps in more rural areas, we feel like, well, most people, most of our neighbors are affiliated, connected to some Christian church, perhaps the meaningful following of Jesus Christ has lessened. It's hard for us to know. We can't judge, but there is some similarity. We can't assume everyone, all our neighbors, are Christians. The church is holy, Paul says. I write to the church that is holy. Money Dig Presbyterian Church is holy. Not just because you're good people, steadfast, faithful people. You're holy because of your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. You are made holy because of your faith in Christ. Grace and peace to you, Paul says, from God the Father. And Paul is thankful. Thankful because he has heard of their faith, not just general belief, but he says, your faith in Jesus Christ. And then secondly, the love you have for all the saints. This is certainly following Jesus' greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Paul is thankful to hear that they are following Jesus' commandment. You're faithful. Your faith in a triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The love you have for all the saints. This faith and love, Paul says, spring from the hope that is stored up for them in heaven. You have this hope of life eternal, of life with God. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Your hope is based there, and you're able to love. What is our hope based in? We need to pause to consider that as Christians today. Is it based in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, or is there some other God, some other person or thing we place our hope in? I'm not sure what birthdays are like for children here in Money Dig in this region, but it's a pretty grand affair in Toronto, where we now live in the city. And I think for my wife, it's hard to compete with some of the birthday celebrations parents put on for their children. They'll actually hire Cinderella. I'm not sure if it's really Cinderella. They'll hire Cinderella or some other belle, you know, princess, and bring this princess to their birthday party, or rent out a hall where there's rock climbing or some bouncy castles. It's a big affair. And you kind of think, as our family does, is it enough just to have cupcakes and play games out in the backyard, which we had when we were growing up? That's a challenge, to kind of compete in that way and have our girls want those big events. But probably a bigger challenge for me, or a concern for me, is some of the messages that come across in these birthday events. I think about cards that we receive, the birthday cards. One birthday card that we received said something like this on the front cover: "The fairy of dreams makes wishes come true." You know, saying we trust that the fairy of dreams makes your wishes come true. And we might, as Christians, kind of just, it's just a card. Don't make anything more out of that. It's a well-meaning card. But the challenge is as young children, they want to believe. And if there's not a clear teaching of the hope we have in a living, real God, and a Savior who loves them, gave his life for them, children might believe in these things. What is our hope based in? What are we teaching our children to put their hope in? We might laugh at little cards like that, or the belief in different myths that our children may grab onto. But perhaps you struggle with this as well. When the football match between England and Sweden was going on yesterday, and if you're an England fan, perhaps you think, wow, it's because I wore my English football jersey. You know, that's why they won. Or it's because I always sit with my brother. When I go to his home, they win. And we don't want to admit it as Christians, but perhaps we do have those silly, superstitious beliefs. We know we're not supposed to, but in the newspaper, we look at the horoscope and kind of see what it says, what our next day will bring, and then kind of think, wow, it really did happen. What is your hope based in? What do you believe in? Perhaps you would say, oh, I don't agree with that, or I don't fall for any of those. But maybe your faith is based in your goodness. It is good to be good. Don't get me wrong. It is good to go to church. It is good to read the Bible. It is good to pray. It is good not to swear. It is good not to get involved with drugs or other addictive behaviors like gambling. It's good. But if you just have a checklist and say, you know, as long as I don't drink too much or do drugs or I don't swear, I help my neighbor. If you just have a checklist by which you measure, am I okay with God? Friends, your hope is based in something other than Jesus Christ. Paul writes this letter as an encouragement. It's not like some of his letters where he's almost scolding the Christians, that you need to change your ways, you need to do things differently. No, but he is just checking and saying, what is your hope based in? Is it in fairies blessing you? Or certain practices you do to please God? Because if so, all of these hopes or beliefs, whether silly or good, distract us from what Christ did for us. That's how Paul begins this letter. That's how I begin my time with you. Speaking a message you've already heard from the good Reverend Stuart Morrow, absolutely. I'm not changing anything he would have preached or said. But following along with him, as Paul was following along with Epaphras, their minister in Colossae, affirming what Epaphras had taught. You heard this good news message from Epaphras, Paul said. The message spoken clearly, with integrity. I'm affirming it, Paul says. What is your hope based in? Brian mentioned just in the opening words there, the Keswick Festival up in Port Stewart. And so we were able to go last night, and I stayed for the speaker, Marcus Nodder, I believe is his name, from London. And a very good speaker, just stuck to the scripture, Revelation 20, about the throne room of God, and that one day there is this judgment. We stand before a holy God. And he spoke about those books, and the book of life was mentioned. And that if our names aren't in that book of life, it's mentioned in the book of Revelation 3 or 4 times, the book of the Lamb, the Lamb's book, then we do not get to be with God eternally. There's that lake of fire. The preacher last night was very clear about that. Is our name in the Lamb's book of life? We don't get our name in there because we're good, because we do good things, but because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Scripture is very clear on that. Marcus Nodder last night said that a ship went out to sea many years ago, and there were 3 classes of people that were on the ship. You know, the first class position and the second class and then the lowest class. But he said that ship sunk. It went down. And he said, after that, there was only 2 classes of people. Those lost at sea, those saved, those who returned. What class, Nodder says, are we in? Our great position, our respect in society, the good things we do, doesn't count for anything eternally. It's only our faith in Jesus Christ. One commentator says, God alone is worthy to have the whole weight and burden of a creature's hope fixed on him. And it's an everlasting truth that they who are without God in the world also have no hope. What a gift when we visit loved ones who are in time of crisis in the hospital, loved ones who are perhaps very close to the end of their lives. What a gift when we can see hope and peace in them. My father died just a month and a half ago while I was in Ballykelly Presbyterian Church ministering there, and I had to fly back on the Sunday evening to go to the funeral. I didn't quite make it there in time, and some people have asked, was that hard? I was in the airport when he died, in the Dublin airport, waiting to fly back. And yes, I would have liked to have been there to see him before he died, but I know that the last time I saw him was Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And we had a wonderful time together. And I know profoundly that my dad's faith, his hope, was based in Jesus Christ, his Savior. That was firm. That was real. My dad suffered with Parkinson's for over 20 years, maybe 22 years. It was a long haul. And there was a joy at his memorial service as we thank God for a life well lived. But more importantly than his accomplishments, we wouldn't list those, is that he had faith in Jesus Christ. Paul reminds those believers, Paul reminds us, Money Dig Presbyterian Church, that there is fruit that has been born among you. Good ministry is happening here. Good discipleship. Children and youth involved in ministry. There is joy. Stay the course. Trust in God. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Friends, our hope is based in God alone. Let us offer our God a hymn of praise. Let's sing hymn number 449, Crown Him with Many Crowns.